Transforming Bodies, a judgment-free zone where Trish answers all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Find out what and who is the latest and greatest, and gain clarity on what options are out there to leave you feeling good in your body.
Hello listeners, it's Trish here again from the Transforming Bodies podcast. And today's episode, I'm going to be here, or I am, actually am here, with Dr. Stephen Lowe at the Muse Clinic in Chatswood in Sydney. And Dr. Lowe is the medical director here. He's a cosmetic physician. And today we're going to find out all about what the wonderful things are that happen here. So welcome, Dr. Lowe.
Thank you very much. Welcome to my clinic.
Thank you so much. I'm actually overly impressed because I hadn't been here before and I looked online, but when you get here, it's next level again as well.
It's I'm really happy with the space. Like, it's taken us time just to kind of find the look that we wanted, and I think that look has to reflect everything that I think is important about cosmetic clinic. It needs to be clean and tidy and professional, but I wanted it also to be kind of welcoming. I wanted it to feel like you were in your living room and that you were comfortable, and it didn't feel threatening. It's really important to me that people feel comfortable in this space.
Yeah, totally. And just like on that as well, I was going to ask you, so we're going to talk about, you know, healthcare and the aesthetics world and stuff like that, but how did you get, because obviously you studied to be a doctor, but what made you go into the aesthetic medicine space? Like, was there a defining moment or?
Yeah, it's a good question. Patients always ask me why or how I ended up being here. It was certainly not my original intention when I went to medical school. I actually wanted to be a pathologist was my original motivation. I wanted to do forensic pathology. And then as I was going through medical school, actually I drifted over and I was more interested in psychiatry. I really liked people and I liked kind of understanding the complexities of people. And then, so most of my undergraduate work, my dissertations and my electives were all psychiatry focused. And then I did some psychiatry for a while, like, you know, after I graduated and I worked in hospital, and then I did some psychiatry, and it just wasn't the right thing for me. It didn't quite stimulate me as much as the theory of it. I think the theory of it's fascinating. So I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to work with people, and so I didn't want to be a surgeon. I wanted to kind of have that day-to-day interaction with people. So I decided to be a GP. I wanted to really be a generalist and to have that kind of general skill set and knowledge. And so I did a GP training program. This was all back in the UK. And I did some psychiatry and peds and pediatrics and obs and gynae and some community medicine. Like, I did lots of things. Mm. And then I went and worked on a ship for a year. I just decided I needed to be somewhere else and to do something completely different. So I went to work on a cruise ship as a doctor, which was an amazing year, and I met great people and I was surrounded by different people, and it kind of opened my eyes a little bit to the world. And then I came to Australia and suddenly realized how hard the climate was for a pasty white Scottish doctor, and that the sun was so intense, and like me, many people living in Australia had different backgrounds and had come from different places in the world and beautiful different heritage. And that the sun was really quite damaging here, maybe compared to what their genetically their bodies were prepared for. And that's probably where my interest in cosmetics came from. It was more that I would see these people who were similar age to me, and I would just be, you know, I'd be shocked at how damaging the sun and this environment had been. And I think, you know, I think there was opportunities to then look at how we could really have, you know, intervene at earlier stages to affect the long-term impact of photo aging and photo damage. So I did a bit of public health for a while. I did another degree in public health, and I was looking at really what we could do at different stages to really impact long-term aging. And that's kind of where my interest in cosmetics came from.
Yeah, I totally get that, because it is like we do, like, the sun is so damaging for our skin. I've got a girlfriend who's also Scottish, and she's as white as anything, and she's just so, like, sun cautious, because it's true, if you burn, you're going to burn big time.
I can hang out some washing on the washing line and be burnt in a couple of minutes, so yeah, I'm very cautious about the sun. But, you know, I think that sun message is interesting in Australia. I think it's kind of there's been waves of, you know, public messaging about being sun safe. And then I think that's died off a little bit and then it's come back. And so I think we still meet a lot of people who are not that vigilant in the sun. It's always surprising.
Totally. So come back, the slip, slop, slap. That's what we need again. You know, and it's good because at schools these days, they, you know, no hat, no play. And it wasn't like that when I was at school. You'd just like let yourself burn. In fact, we'd put baby oil on to try to make ourselves burn a bit better. So
it's so more recently, we particularly with our lasers, we've become much, much stricter at people having to adhere to really sensible sun protection methods because we know that it compromises their results and the result that we can deliver and therefore how satisfied we are with our processes. So we've become increasingly strict, more and more strict at what we will let people do with if they're having lasers.
Yeah, for sure. And tell me, so like the aesthetics industry, like I don't know how long you've been in the industry, like it says about 20 years, but you honestly look like you're about 20 years old. But anyway, we won't even go there. But I was going to ask you, so the industry has changed so much in like even just in the, you know, 10 or so years that I've been involved in the industry. But can you give us a little bit about the current state of the aesthetics and healthcare industry in Australia or in Sydney in particular? Like are there any latest trends coming out? Because I know that you've got your finger on the pulse with stuff and you've just come back from a big conference in Taiwan where, you know, to learn more about the aesthetics industry. But can you give us a little bit about the trends in skincare and wellness that are kind of seem to be seeping through at the moment?
Yeah, so I, just to put it into context, so yeah, I went to medical school in 1997. So then by the time I graduated, so I've been a graduate doctor for over 20 years. I've done cosmetics for about 10 years. So the first 10 years was really general practice and hospital work. In terms of what's changing, I think there's definitely a move, which is great because it completely aligns with what we've been looking at over the last 10 years, of trying to stimulate healthy skin. And I think the focus for so long was on freezing and filling and just quick fix repairs, you know, seeing lines, chasing them, freezing them with anti-wrinkles, seeing a little bit of sagging or some volume loss and inflating it with filler. But I think things are changing. I think there's a more of an appetite for investing in longer term healthy, biologically better tissue. And that's really what the focus of that meeting in Taiwan was. We were looking at one of the collagen stimulating fillers that's available in Australia and really looking at how it could be reframed to really be more of a regenerative treatment, how by looking at some of the science that supports it, that really it's not just stimulating more of one thing. It's not just making more collagen. It's making more collagen, but it's making more elastin, other proteins that we need in the skin. It's making more proteoglycans, these kind of structures within the skin that make the skin function better. And actually, by using these products, we can trigger biologically healthier, better tissue. And I think cosmetics will shift more to that in the future. I think it's starting now, but I think in the future, our focus will be much more on how do we replicate the healthy tissue that we used to have rather than just fill it up and expand it and stretch it. And I think it is changing. I think people are becoming more focused on health of their of their skin. It's not just the appearance anymore.
I think you're 100% right. It's more about we want to look well. We want to look healthy. We don't want to look like we're done. We just want to look naturally healthy and a bit more vibrant and gone, like you said, gone are the days of the, you know, the frozen and the fill. So now we want to look like we've not had anything done. We're just like drinking lots of water and you know, keeping our skin protected with sunblock. And we just want to look healthy.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you see so many celebrities talking about, you know, that they're not doing cosmetic stuff, that they're just drinking their greens and their olive oil and whatever else.
And yoga.
Lots of yoga. But people... Yeah, it's still high up on the list. People come into the clinic, it's still one of the first things that they say. They don't want to look like they've had stuff done. There is still this social stigma of cosmetic treatments, but bad cosmetic treatments. I think people want to look, all the things that you said, they want to look healthy. They just want to look refreshed or rejuvenated. They don't want to look like they've had to have cosmetic treatments done. I keep talking to people about the curve of aging, the, you know, that we're all getting older. That's a completely normal biological process. But in that curve of where we could be sitting on that curve, you want to be at the back of the curve, not the front of the curve, so that you're not an old-looking 50, you're a good-looking 50, or you're a fresh-looking 65-year-old, not the oldest version of a 65-year-old. It's just about being on that curve, but that normal curve, but just being on the back end of it, not the forefront of it.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And it's definitely more and more of a growth. Like, people that wouldn't have looked at aesthetic treatments years ago are definitely, you know, into looking at more of those aesthetic procedures now. But I was going to ask you, the philosophy and the approach that you have at the clinic here, I believe from what I've seen, Muse Clinic is sort of set, it's kind of set up, you've set it up so that it's kind of a little bit, you know, that it's set apart, if I'm making any sense. But can you tell us what you believe that sets Muse Clinic apart?
So it was really important that we created a space that people weren't judged in, that they were accepted however they walked through the door, that they could be comfortable enough to talk about insecurities they have about their appearance to somebody they may have never met before. Because I think it's quite, I think it can be quite overwhelming, and I think it can be quite a vulnerable position that people put themselves in, that they come to these clinics that they might assume that everyone walking around the clinic is going to be beautiful and enhanced, and that they're not going to connect or feel part of that. So it was really important that we made the clinic feel welcoming and non-judgmental, and people come in if they were comfortable to talk about the things that they didn't like about themselves, which I think is deeply personal, that we gave them the physical space, but also our approach as doctors or nurses or therapists that we have in the clinic, that we gave people that space to talk about themselves and to talk about the things that they didn't love about themselves, which I think are deeply personal. But if we can understand that person, then I think we can offer them more. We can truly understand what they're seeking, and we can try and match a treatment program that really addresses what they're looking for. And that comes from my days of being a GP, and it's listening to people and it's understanding people. I spent much time doing consultation theory in general practice. I find it fascinating about how important it is to understand what brings that person in at that moment in their life to talk about this problem in their life. And the more we understand people, the more we can tailor our treatments appropriately. So we really get to the heart of their concerns.
And I reckon one thing that for myself anyway, like, gone are the days where you just want to go in and have a quick fix. I think we're more about, we want the long-term benefit. Because I know myself, I had my first laser treatment when I was about 44, and I know that, here I am, I don't know, maybe 25 years later. And I think I look better now than I did then, because I'm actually just having, I'm having regular treatments of certain things all the time, and my skin looks a whole lot better than it did then. And I think that's what people are doing, aligning themselves with someone that can actually treat all of their concerns, like, over the years. So it's like we've got a GP and now we've got an aesthetic practitioner that we go to for our aesthetic benefits.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about those relationships, and it's about building connections with people and forming those bonds with people over periods of time. I mean, I for the reasons I once became a GP, that I think a GP can be, like, GPs get bashed a little bit in the media, and they're often undervalued, I think, but a good GP can make a massive difference in somebody's life. And I think we shouldn't underestimate the power of cosmetic treatments and the power of a good cosmetic doctor or nurse who can really understand that person and work with them over years to support that side of their life, their appearance, their psyche, their insecurities. And I think for so long, you know, we've just focused on the kind of trivial aspects of cosmetics and the beautifying bits and the prettiness of it all. And those things are there and they're important and they have value and they have a role to play. But I think we've really underappreciated the importance of really tapping into how people feel and how we can make them feel better. And who doesn't want to feel better? I mean, it's such a fundamental thing in life that we want to feel good. I mean, we navigate our way around our worlds, but like it's kind of basic. We want to feel good about ourselves and we shouldn't be shamed into feeling good about ourselves. And I think for so long, there's been this stigma about the kind of how trivial and superficial these treatments are. But I think that's really ignored the fact that people feel better when they look better and they feel this inner confidence that then has this knock-on effect in other aspects of their life.
That's so true, because I know for a fact that when you believe that you look, when you're happy with the way that you look, I mean, you can be like a powerhouse, like totally confident and go out there and take on the world. Well, that's how I feel anyway, so I totally, totally get that. So I was going to ask you, with what some of the services that you offer here at the clinic, I'm going to ask you about them, but while I was watching your video as I was in the waiting room, one of the points that you came up with was one of the treatments that you offer here is the broadband light. And there's some research, or actually on your video, you're talking about the research of actually people that have done it over years, how it kind of changes the I don't know if it's the DNA or the structure. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that just blows me away.
Yeah, this is fascinating, and I think this is not widely understood. I mean, this is not kind of widely understood or widely appreciated by the public. Is that we have technologies at our fingertips that we can use now that will give you better skin in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, not just from the improvement in the appearance of the skin, but we can actually improve the genetic functioning of our skin with the use of selected light technology. So BBL is, as far as I'm aware, is the only laser that's ever proven to benefit the genetic structures of our skin over time. And maybe other light devices do it, but I don't think it's ever been researched and proven. So we know that BBL has this evidence to back it up. And that's really important. We need, you know, cosmetic medicine is no different to other branches of medicine. We need to have solid science and data to support what we're saying. Otherwise, we're not really being true to ourselves as doctors. You know, we've got an obligation to be providing evidence-based, effective, safe treatments to our patients. But BBL is great. Like, you treat these people with these selected light technologies. We know that as we age, some genes in our skin are turned off and downregulated, and that means that those repair abilities within the skin, the ability of the skin to regenerate itself, make new collagen, make quality collagen, which I think is an important distinction. We know that those genes are downregulated and turned off as we age, primarily from the sun, primarily from environmental factors that influence how our skin ages. But we know that BBL turns them back on again. Mm-hmm. And the genetic pattern in a skin that's been treated by BBL is much more similar to younger performing skin. So we have this ability, this ties back into what I was saying earlier about the conference in Taiwan, about being able to regenerate healthier tissue. And that's really, I think, something that's not well appreciated, that we have this available to us now. We can treat people with BBL 2-3 times a year. We can make your skin biologically, genetically healthier in the years to come.
I know, it's mind-blowing. And at the last conference that I was at, one of the doctors there is actually doing, you know, she constantly is doing, or she's doing research studies at the moment to actually on all that. And it just blew me away to think that you can actually have a broadband light treatment that over time can actually make your skin better.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a simple treatment as well. You know, 2-3 times a year, it's a half hour treatment. It's comfortable. It's not, doesn't have much downtime. You walk in, walk out looking just as good as you did. And yet we know that we're planting seeds for improving skin quality in the months and years to come. And who wouldn't want, by the time they get to 50, if they're 40, or 60, if they're 50, to have better biological skin in 10 years' time. There's no excuse for not, if we're invested in looking after ourselves and we want to present ourselves well, then this is a fundamental. Everybody should be having broadband lights, because if you're in it for the long haul, as you said about these long-term patient journeys, if we're in it to look our best in the years to come, everybody should be having broadband light.
I agree, especially in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. The first point we made about the photo damage, there's so much photo damage. Mm-hmm. But it becomes kind of normalised because people expect it, and because it's a sunny country, of course. And, you know, we can think of aunts or uncles or parents who have had sun damaged skin. You just expect it to be, it's normalised. But it doesn't have to be. We don't have to have that skin pattern.
Yeah.
We're all living older now than, you know, generations before. We're going to be around for a while, hopefully. Mm. So if we, and it's not just about the aesthetic, it's about making your skin healthier in the long term, so that we have healthy functioning skin. It's not just about the appearance.
Yeah, and I mean, I see people around where I live, because I live on the North Coast, and of course it's all about the beach and whatnot, and I just see people all the time that are like my age, younger, and a lot older as well. They're always just having chunks taken out of their face, and I just think if you can do preventative stuff today to protect you in 20 years' time, why wouldn't you just stop all those, you know, just getting, like my mother-in-law recently had virtually half of her nose chopped off because of a sun problem. So why wouldn't you, you know, fix that before, like do preventative stuff to stop that from happening?
Yeah, I think you don't realise until you've seen friends or family or relatives, or in my case as a GP, I've seen all these people with skin cancers and lesions being removed. It's hugely disfiguring. And apart from the, you know, everything, the downtime and the downsides that come with having surgeries on your face, I mean, aesthetically, it's hugely disfiguring to have these scars and to have flaps and, you know, cuts and stitches. And as you said, by doing more at this earlier stage, by looking after our skin, by preventing as much exposure, I mean, you can't avoid the sun. It's a sunny country, but we can take steps to minimize the impact of, or the damaging impact of the sun. But yeah, simple treatments like a BBL 2-3 times a year will keep your skin healthier.
And tell me, so what other, because I know you do BBL here, but first of all, how do you decide what treatments you offer at the clinic? Because there's so much out there, but how do you decide what's best and what you want to offer your range of patients?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, so I look at our patients. I look first at what, who the patients coming into the clinic are, what they're looking for, what things they have wrong that concern them. I then start to look at what technologies or treatments would be able to potentially tackle the things that I know concerns them. But from there, I go off and I do lots of research about stuff. I like a bit of science. So I go off and look at science of treatments. I look at the publications that have been published in medical journals about them. I look at the quality of the papers that have been published. I don't just look for a quick Google search and see what crops up and think, okay, this is good. I look at the basic science of what has been published and the quality of the studies that have been done. I look at the manufacturers and who the companies are, and if I think they are companies that have been reliable over the years and that their build quality, if it's a machine, if it's a laser or a device, I look at the consistency of what they've delivered over the years. So I have never bought a machine as soon as it comes out, because I kind of just want to see how it settles down and how there's any teething problems with it. I want to see what the feedback is from people, both on a commercial level. I want to see if people like the treatment and want to pay for it and have it. But I want to also see what evidence and what publications come out of it. And then I just look at the safety profile. I make sure that it's going to offer enough benefit versus risk. And I make sure that it's going to be tolerable to people, that it's got a side effect profile that's going to be acceptable, that it's not going to have downtime. I don't mind treatments with downtime if they work. So I mix all that. I put that in the mix together. I look at safety and downtime and tolerance and publications and machine quality and technology and what people primarily what they're looking for, and then I distill it down into the best machine. Yeah. And I've always had the view that I would buy the best technology that I can afford to buy, mm-hmm. that's going to give the best result with the least downtime and the least side effects and the best long-term improvement.
And that makes sense, because that's when people are going to come back, you know, when all of those boxes are ticked. Because I've seen time and time again where people have had treatments done that they've thought was going to be, you know, like there's RF and there's RF kind of thing. So it just depends on which device you're getting, who's doing it. And like there's a whole lot of incidentals, and I'm the complete opposite view. I just want to see the before and afters, and I'm going to go for that, whatever it is.
It's, it's interesting. Like we've done some work before looking at, you know, different people, different patients, and what, you know, and there are people who are just like, I want the latest thing. I want the newest thing that's come on the market. That's for me. I want to be ahead of that curve. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But those people have to be satisfied long-term as well. And so it comes back to making sure that we can provide reproducible, consistent results. Mm-hmm. Because as you said, that's what keeps bringing people back. And that's when people tell their friend or their neighbor or their sister that you should be coming to Muse mm-hmm. Clinic for your treatments, because, you know, I got what I expected to get, and I had minimal problem, and I had, you know, the result I wanted. And it's that consistency that people want and people expect. Yeah. Yes, it's important that we look at new technologies coming out, and it's important that we kind of, you know, you don't want to be behind. You want to be aware of that, but I still take a cautious approach to making sure that it's the right thing, right fit for the clinic.
Yeah, but I think it's always good for someone in your shoes to definitely be cautious, and someone in my shoes, I'm just like going to be like, yeah, exactly.
It's a balance. I mean, I guess as a business owner, you have to kind of make sensible business decisions that are going to work for us as a clinic and a business as well.
Yeah. Well, before we, because I could just stay here talking to you all the time, but before we close off, so is there anything new in the pipeline or anything around the corner coming that you're really excited? Because I know that you're talking about the biostimulators and stuff like that. So is there anything coming that you think is going to be really game changing that we should kind of keep an eye out for as a consumer? Make me look good?
Yeah. I think I've had this focus for a few years, but I think this will become a bigger thing. I still think about the face. I think for so long we've still thought about the face in a flat two-dimensional or one-dimensional kind of structure. Mm-hmm. And I think increasingly we think about the face in a 3D structure. But for so long we've just looked at wrinkles on the surface or bits of shadows and sagging. But I think if you kind of flip it around and you think about the depths of the face and the connections that run through the face, my feeling is that we need to be treating it multiple layers from the very surface down to the layer of the bone, because that aging process is multi-layered. There's stuff happening and having a knock-on effect on the next bit and the next bit and the next bit. And if you only focus on the flat surface, you never really change what's going on underneath. Mm-hmm. So my approach has for years been using the collagen stimulating fillers, the biostimulant fillers, to fertilize, to make sure that we've got healthy tissue that has the ability to grow healthier tissue into the future. I've always liked, as you've mentioned, BBL. We're about to get another laser in the clinic very shortly, which will complement BBL very nicely. I've got other resurfacing lasers. So having these different options to be able to provide customized, tailored treatments to people, and then of course using other treatments that work deeper underneath, so we're really working on those multi layers. But it's all about being able to look at somebody, say to them, okay, this is what we need to be doing now, but this is what we need to be thinking about in 6 months and a year. Yes. And 5 years. Yeah. And plan that process out for them. The people who look unusual are the ones who are just having kind of piecemeal, it doesn't tie in. Nobody's actually pulled it together and said, okay, this is the aging process, this is what's happening to you, this is what's going to happen to you, and therefore these are the things that we need to be considering and doing over, it doesn't always have to happen tomorrow or next week, this could be over years, but they will get the most normal, age appropriate, healthy results when we plan things out and we treat multiple layers and customizing things. You know, my face is different to yours, it's different to our next door neighbors. No treatment should be kind of just a single approach. It should be very much, this is you and your situation and your problem, and I'm going to create a plan that's tailored exactly to what you need. And I think personalized medicine is definitely a future direction, and I think that will become a bigger direction in aesthetics, where we really tailor treatments to the individual rather than just kind of thinking, okay, talks for everyone or filler for everyone.
Yeah, and another thing I've noticed lately is the fact that they're stacking treatments on top, so you can go and go to your practitioner, not just have one treatment, but have two or three things at the same time, because it's kind of like, you know, as I mentioned before, 1 + 1 = 3 kind of thing, and it works like that, doesn't it?
It's that synergistic approach. We know that some treatments, there's this kind of combination approach which has a better outcome, as you said, than just doing those treatments by themselves. And particularly with laser treatments, we know that if you kind of, again, it's bringing it back to the science of it, but thinking about how that laser's working, where it's working, what depth of the skin it's working at, what cells it's working at. And if we can be smart about it, as we should, because we should be smart people, then we can make informed choices about combining treatments that have this multi beneficial effect, or the synergistic effect, because we're combining the pros of a few treatments and pulling them together for this much more, this greater treatment that will yield much bigger and more impressive results.
Yeah, totally. Well, sign me up now. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And listeners, if you do want to check Dr. Stephen Lowe out, he's got his own Instagram, but also check out Muse Clinics, so M-U-S-E Clinics. They're on Instagram and Facebook. Also check out the website, but it's Dr. Stephen Lowe with a P-H and L-O-W-E. Chatswood in Sydney. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk.
Got a burning question for Trish? Message her on Instagram at Transforming Bodies, or join the 12,000 plus people in the Facebook group Plastic Surgery Support Forum for Aussie Chicks.